Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim Amarei Avram Goldar and Tim Rezekas Brachas Daf Lamed Zion. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, cooked rice, orez, is similar to the five grains in so much that one recites Berei Min Mazonos, but it's dissimilar as the bracha afterwards is a Berei Nefashos and not an Alamichya. Number two, a rice records a Malkokas in an incident regarding the bracha one recites after eating one of the Zion, meaning one of the seven species. Rambam Gamliel says one should say Birkas Amazon, where the Chachamim say one should say the bracha of Me'ein Shalosh. So when Gamliel gave permission to Rabbi Akiva to lead the benching after eating dates, Rabbi Akiva quickly said the bracha of Me'ein Shalosh. And then Rabbi Akiva explained afterwards that although Rabbi Gamliel taught that one should bench, he also taught one should follow the majority opinion, which in this case prescribes the bracha of Me'ein Shalosh. So the 2 points so far in terms of what the bracha one says on the orez before and after, and secondly, the bracha that one says after eating one of the Zion meaning. Rabbi Gamliel says, Birkas Amazon, Nachami say Me'ein Shalosh. Thirdly, according to Rav Sheshes, one makes hahamotzi on a cooked dish made with small pieces of bread less than a kazais, such as chavitza. Rava stipulates that the pieces must still have the appearance of bread. So again, the 3 points are, we have cooked rice, the bracha before is Berei Min Mazonos, but it's a Berei Nefashos afterwards. We have a machlokes regarding what the bracha one says after eating one of the Zion minim. Rav Gamliel says Birkas Amazon, Nachami say the bracha of Me'ein Shalosh. And finally, according to Rav Sheshes, one makes a hamotzi on a cooked dish made with small pieces of bread, less than a kazai, such as chavitza. Rava stipulates that the pieces must still have the appearance of bread. So now we go to the siman. So the siman for Lamed Zayin is going to be laser tag. Laser tag. So here we go. The Chol HaMoed Pesach laser tag trip got out of hand when the losing team started throwing rice and dates and the winning team discovered little pieces of bread in their cooked dish. Once again, the Chol HaMoed Pesach laser tag trip. Oh, laser tag. We must be on Daf Lamed Zayin. Got out of hand when the losing team started throwing rice and dates. That reminds us, A, of the sugi of what the bracha said on rice, on orez, before and afterwards. And dates, reminding us of the machlokas regarding the bracha that is said after eating one of the Zayin minim, and the incident with Rabbi Akiva and Gamliel. And the winning team discovered a little pieces of bread in their cooked dish, which reminds us of according to Rav Sheshes, one makes a motzi on a cooked dish with small pieces of bread less than a kazayas, and Rava stipulates that the pieces must still have the appearance of bread. So once again, the Chol HaMoed Pesach laser tag trip got out of hand when the losing team started throwing rice and dates, and the winning team discovered little pieces of bread in their cooked dish. All right, so now it's time for our four blah back, because we're beginning on Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simfer Lamed Gimel is a pirate with a peg leg. So here we go. The pirate with a peg leg lifted up his cup of Havdalah. That reminds us of the sugya that when the Jews first returned to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah fixed the bracha of Havdalah within Shemoneh Esrei because the people were too poor and they couldn't afford wine. Later, when the people grew wealthier, the bracha was removed from the tefillah and its recital was fixed over a cup of wine. The details of the original enactment were then forgotten. And then later still, when the people became impoverished, they reverted back to the original enactment and fixed Havdalah and tefillah, but required people could afford it to recite Havdalah a second time over wine. So he lifted up his cup of Havdalah and started enumerating many praises for Hashem. That reminds us Rav Chanina reprimanded that Shliach Tzibur was enumerating a long list of Hashem's traits. And when he finished, Rav Chanina asked him, did you complete all the praises of your master? Siyamtinu l'kul shvachid demarach. So he's enumerating the many praises for Hashem when his wife came in and reprimanded him for having no Yir Shamayim. And again, Rav Chanina teaches us, kol bidei shamayim chutz mi yir shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of Shemayim. Then we go to Daf Lamed Daled. So the Simfer Lamed Daled is a ladder. So the Baal Tshuva climbed the ladder. So the Baal Tshuva reminds of the sugi of who is more exalted, Baal Tshuva or Tzedikim Gemurim. And we have the statement, B'makam Shebaal Tshuva Omdim, Tzedikim Gemurim Einim Omdim. So we climb the ladder, because that's on Daf Lamed Daled, to the special room to learn how the King David Shemoneh Esrei completely bowed. Because the Gemara discusses the proper times to bow during Shemoneh Esrei, and he teaches that the more exalted one is as an individual, the greater the need to humble oneself through bowing. So a regular Jew would bow at the beginning, the end of the first bracha of Avos, as well at the beginning, the end of the bracha of Hodah, Thanksgiving. A Kohen Gadol with Machlokas, one opinion states at the end of each bracha, another opinion states at the beginning and end of each bracha. And then with the Melech, one opinion states at the beginning and end of each bracha, another opinion states that he remains bowed from the first bracha until the completion of the tefillah. So he climbs the ladder to learn how the King David Shemoneh Esrei completely bowed as the servant down below begged the king for his allotment. Which reminds us of the sugi that how we're supposed to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Shemoneh Esrei depends on which part we're in. When we're reciting the first three brachas, we're like a servant who states words of praise before asking to make a request. Then during the middle brachas, we're like a servant who's requesting our allotment. And then during the last few brachas, we're like a servant who's received his allotment from his master. He begs leave and goes on his way expressing hakor satov, expressing gratitude. Then we go to Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simcha Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here we go. The children's choir, which means one Daf Lamed Hey, at the brachas party sang the Bracha Rishona song for wine. So the Bracha Rishona, we have the Gemara that after concluding there's no Torah source for the concept of Bracha Rishona, the Gemara teaches that the obligation to do so is based on reason, on spur. Also, will Adam Shianam in Olam Hazeh Bo Bracha. It's forbidden for a person to derive benefit from this world without first reciting a blessing. And then we learned about various implications. The one who derives benefit from this world without first reciting Bracha is as if he was Ma'al, committed an act of Mi'ilah, misappropriation of temple property. Another one stated that if you derive benefit from this world without first reciting a Bracha, it's Ki'ilah Gozel Kosh Baruch Ganes Yisrael. It's as if he robbed from Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So what do we have? So the children's choir, the Brachas party, sang the Bracha Rishona song for wine. Why wine? Because the Gemara concluded that the reason that wine, unlike olive oil, merits having unique Bracha of its own, a Geffen, is because wine satiates and olive oil does not. So they sang the Bracha Rishona song for wine while the darling little kids on stage pretended to harvest wheat. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes of how to understand the words in Kriyashma of Asafta Deganecha, you shall gather in your grain. Rabbi Shmuel understands it as a general directive that Torah study should be combined with earning a living. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai argues, no, the preoccupation with earning a living would leave no time for Torah study. So he interprets the verse as referring to a time when Klal Yisrael does not fill Hashem's Ratzon, his will. At such a time, they will not only have to do their own work, gathering their own grain, but even have to do the work of others. But when we do fill Hashem's Ratzon, the work of gathering in the grain will be done for them by others. And then we go to Daf Lamed Vav. So the symbol for Lamed Vav is a lulav. So the lulav that was covered in fine white wheat flour, right? Because that reminds us of Machlokas concerning the bracha recited over wheat flour. Rav Yehuda says that one recites Adama, since it's likened to eating wheat kernels. The fact that the flour is ground doesn't change its status. Rav Nachman says that one recites Shachar because the ground flour is no longer in its original state of wheat kernels, which would require Adama, but has not yet reached its final state of bread, which would require a motzi. So the wood was covered in fine white flour and was sprouting a caper bush with husks out of its top. That reminds us of the Gemara asks why the husks of a caper bush are not subject to the oral restriction, given that a shomer, the protective covering of an oral fruit, is considered orla. So Rava teaches that something is only considered a fruit shomer if without it the fruit would die. So caper bush husks are not needed to keep the berries alive, so they do not attain the status of a shomer, and they're not subject to orla. And this lulav that was covered in fine white leaf flour and sprouting a caper bush with a husk out of its top was sitting in a bowl of porridge. And Rav Shmuel teaches us that one recites a borei mein mezonos on any food that contains one of the five species of grain, even if the grain is not the primary ingredient. And Tosas adds that this is only when the grain is there to enhance the dish rather than merely to serve as a binder. All right, so now we're going to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, where do we have the discussion regarding what is the source for a bracha rishona that's on Daf? Lamed Hey, good. Number two, where do we have the topic of the Shari Dima, the gates of tears are never closed? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis, good. Number three, where do we learn that davening should be done betoch simcha shel mitzvah, the joy of doing a mitzvah? That's on Daf. Lamed Aleph, great. Number four, where do we learn that the husks of a caper bush are not considered a shomer and therefore not chayv in Orla? That's on Daf. Lamed Vav, good. Number five, where did the machlokas regarding what v'asafta deganecha refers to? That's on Daf. Lamed Hey, great. Number six, where did the machlokas regarding who is more exalted, Bali Tshuva or Tzaddikim Gemurim? That's on Daf. Lamed Dalet, good. Number seven, where do we have the topic of a kol bidei shamayim, chutz meyir shamayim? That's on Daf. Lamed Gimel, great. Number eight, where do we learn that foods that have one of the five grains in them are a mazonos? That's on Daf. Lamed Vav. Good. Number nine. Where do we learn why wine gets its own bracha where olive oil does not? That's on Daf. Lamed Hey. Excellent. And number 10. Where do we learn about the proper times when to bow during Shemoneh Esrei? And we learn there's a distinction whether you're a Hedyu, a Kohen Gadol, or a Melech. That's on Daf. Lamed Dalet. Wonderful. All right, so that's it for our pop quiz. Just a reminder for all the all doffers, if you want to get access to the deluxe suite of Zichru materials, the PDFs, the Simanim pictures, the videos that are coming out of the Simanim, and so much more, You can sign up at zichru.com or on WhatsApp at 973-440-3013. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.